you follow me. Amen. Grab your Bibles or somebody else's Bible, whatever you have. Ain't God good? Bob, I'm a little steaming today. I don't want Dwayne to leave here holding his ears, bleeding. If you want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7, I want to look at a singular verse there as a springboard for what I want to talk about today. I am convinced beyond any unconvincing, the only hope this world has is a brand new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Doctrine, not going to make it. I don't know what you felt like this morning when the Spirit really began to move. When Dave gets up and he starts dancing, I know Katie barred the door. It's about ready to happen. It just happens. Amen. Amen. I want to get to meddling a little bit here. People say, that ain't dancing, that's hopping. Get up and try it. Get up and try it and see where you get. Amen. Amen. Well, that's not like the way we used to do it. Well, this ain't back there like it used to be. Amen. Amen. If we ever get back to the 1950s, a whole lot of us will be ready to have church. You know what I mean? But we ain't going. We ain't going back there. We're going on. Let God do a new thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. The words of Stephen, the apostle, or the disciple, or the follower of Christ. We get confused between what's apostle and what ain't. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. I read that kind of just really mediocre. I mean, that exclamation is like, you stiff-necked individuals, hard-headed, brow-backed, pointy-eyed Neanderthals, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. Just like your fathers did, so do you. Just like your fathers did, so do you. I don't know what faith my father was. Heathen, I think. I didn't know much about my dad until my daughter got messing around on Ancestry.com and I got one big picture of my dad. Like this. And then like this. Inmate, Montana State Prison, Deer Lodge, Montana. For embezzling $43. But the Ayatollah in Washington can do it with $400 million and nobody can say anything. Oh, that's all the politics for today, I promise you. I said in my pastor's corner this morning that I am enthralled by technology. I have been. I remember going to school in 1973 at Pikes Peak Institute of Medical Technology. PPMIT for short. We didn't have a basketball team or a football team. But I remember when this lady came to the front desk to get her cup of coffee in the morning. And she had this little box about this big, about this thick. And you could punch numbers in there and have them add up. And you could multiply numbers on this thing. And you could divide numbers. I had that slide rule on my belt. I mean, I was really Turkville. Anybody have those slide rules? You remember them. And you had to do this and then turn it over and get the little slide to go here and then turn it over and get this slide. And you say, absolutely, 2 + 2 = 4. It says it right there. But she had this little bitty thing. I said, where did you get that? She says, my husband bought it. He was traveling on business, and he got out to one of the big cities, and he bought this thing in an electronics store for only $205. It's like the ones they give you now. Most of you who have advanced computer capabilities at home have got more computer capacity and capability than America had when they put the man on the moon. Not something. Absolutely something. Power. Power. I remember standing at my tent and the door of my tent early, early morning on Osan Air Force Base in Korea. And I heard this wailing, whining jet engine slowing down, and the Marines were always flying in and out, and Navy guys always from the carriers. But here come the sound like I had never heard of before. And all of a sudden these guys go in these little, they were like souped up golf carts. And they got on the runway and they were starting down the runway like crazy. And a U-2 spy plane landed. And it lands, it's only got a couple of wheels and its wings are going until they run up underneath the wings, until the wings get on the thing and they bring him to a stop. I thought, how cool is that? I got to talk around. They say, yeah, you can see him land, and it's really generally very early in the morning that they leave. And so the next morning, I'm up really bright and early. This thing, they pulled it right into a hangar right away, and they pulled it out of the hangar, got one way on the runway, took off, and it got going, and he hit some kind of afterburners, and that thing just stood on his tail and went right straight up. I have never seen anything go so fast in my entire life. There is power. Whew! I was reading in the news about this thing that they're about ready to put on Navy ships called a rail gun. The tanks are going to start carrying rail guns. You don't have to have no powder. You don't have to have no powdered projectiles. You don't have to worry about that. All you got to do is have electronics circuitry that's generated between these rails, and it sets up a magnetic force, and they literally shoot these projectiles out at 5,500 miles per hour. And there's nothing that stops it. It just, don't get in front of it. It ain't, Superman would have big dents with this thing. Big dents. Power. So much power. But yet there is another power that is greater than any power that's ever been known to mankind. It's greater than the energy of the sun. In fact, it's greater than all the energy of the suns in this universe. But yet the skinniest, scrawniest, littlest, bittiest Christian can reject it. Talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen said, you stiff-necked generation, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. In order for the church to receive the power that God has poured out on it already in a manner that's going to change this world, we have got to break down our resistance to Him who is that third person of the triune God. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to do some things in our lives that maybe we are totally, completely uncomfortable with. Maybe it's time that we unscrewed the arms. Got a look of maybe on our face and got out and started dancing in the Spirit. Maybe it's time that we say to the Holy Spirit, whatever you have to do in me, do it. You got my complete and total permission to do that. Does that sounds almost stupidity in the eyes and the face of a God who is all powerful. For scrawny me to say to God, you got my permission. Because that's what God's looking for. God is looking for you to let it down and say, God, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, use me. Let's go on an ambulance ride. Okay? I'm at home. Cursing and swearing. No, I didn't curse and swear. I was about ready to lose my sanctification. I'm under the Subaru. And you are straining with everything you have to get that piece to move 1 millimeter so it fits. And all of a sudden, something's wrong. Can't breathe. Break out in a sweat. A fear comes over me like I've never known before. What's the matter? It hurts right there. Hurts right there. They call the ambulance. Everybody with chest pain calls what? 911. They never call their neighbors and say, would you give me a ride to the emergency room? I think I'm having a heart attack. 911. Those are the guys that's got the stuff. You know, they can lay hands on you. Oh, God, heal this in the name of Jesus right now. But pray while the ambulance is on coming, okay? Just make me happy, all right? God has done it more than once. He has healed people before the ambulance ever got there. God healed me in a service in the old church one time, and I've never had anything like it since. I stood up behind that thing. It was right after the praise service. So some of you haven't heard this, I guess. But I got that right there. I knew what was happening. I asked the elders of the church, the council of the church, would you come up and pray for me? I said, I'm having a heart attack. They came up and they prayed. It went away and it's never ever come back. But I know that's exactly what it was. They get me in the ambulance. They take me to the doctor. And the doctor treats me in the emergency room and he says, it's not a heart attack, it's just an angina attack. Now, we're going to turn you loose. No, you'll probably keep you, they probably kept me overnight, okay? So they kept me overnight. The next day they said, we're going to turn you loose, but we want you to go see your family doctor. The one who has promised to take care of you. And you got to sit down with that doctor and listen to him. Dude, this is the way it is. Get off the bacon. No more bacon. Get off your chair and get out and start walking. And dude, you got to stop smoking. See you around, Doc. Thank you very much. It's the same way in the spiritual realm. It's the same way. We come to Jesus in our moment of absolute travesty. Something has happened. You have been busted by the Holy Spirit. Something has happened. You're driving down the street and all of a sudden the red light's going, the thing, and you're thinking, boy, I wish I wouldn't have drank those last 17 beers. And the red lights hit you and the voice next door to you says, this is enough. So you come to this place of saying, Jesus, I've wrecked my life. Save me. And you know what he does? If you mean it from the bottom of your heart, above all things. Not that you've been caught, because you're still going to see Judge Alderton. You're still going to do this. months and months and months and months, both to the court and to your insurance company and all those kinds of things. But when the immediate situation is taken care of and you come to Christ, then the Holy Spirit begins to deal with your life.
Yes.
There are things that you have to quit. There are things you stop doing. The Holy Spirit begins to deal with you and says, you have got to put a governor on your mouth.
Come on, Pastor.
You cannot be saying the things that you say about people, the gossip, the thing. You've got to stop doing that if you want to live in the fullness of what I have planned for you. You have got to come to the point when you open your mouth and words fall out, it's the truth.
Amen.
You were in this terrible place and things were sticking out of your arms and up your nose and in bottles that you were drinking down. You have got to stop if you want to live the life I want to give to you. You got to tell your boyfriend to move out if you want to live the kind of life I have for you. And just like that man sitting in the chair listening to the bacon speech and the exercise speech and the quit smoking speech, many, many times we say to God, thank you, Lord, for saving me, but this is all I need. God, you threw me my life preserver. I have my fire insurance policy. Now, that's okay. I'm just going to go on with life. That's not the way it is. And the problem that we have as young Christians and as old Christians, as skinny Christians, fat Christians, girl Christians, and boy Christians is we can set up a wall. I got this neat little thing on my phone. You might have it on your phone too. Your phone, when the phone rings, it's great. It's pastors prayed for this for years. It says, ringy dingy dingy, it is so and so. Oh Lord. Off.
Ooh. Come on, Pastor. Come on.
Off.
Come on. Rich. Come on.
We have this thing in our heart that says, this is God speaking. And we go, off.
Ooh.
Off. I know, because I do it. I did it, and I do it. If you're honest with yourself,
yes,
you will say, I did it, and I still do it. If you're not hearing from God, if God's not speaking to you on a regular basis, you see, I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. In fact, I've been down that altar 22 times and I prayed the prayer 24 times too, just for extra principle. But God is not speaking to you every day. You need to get saved, brother. You need to get saved, sister. I sat in a counseling session this week. Listen to the situation. And I heard God say that God told me this. And so I said, I just can't do that. And my significant other said, I'm going to serve God and I hear God every day, but this is the way I'm going to do. And they said, what do you think has to happen? I said, you guys need to get saved. Because the voices that you're hearing are not God. They're voices of absolute condemnation. They're voices that are telling you to do things that come out of the works of the flesh, not the works of the Spirit. I just told them, I said, you guys need to get saved. Didn't fly. So all of you who are in the counseling business, don't tell. There's two things you never tell patients or counselees. Don't tell them you need to get saved because they get really crazy about it. Let God tell them they need to get saved. And third, when a lady comes in with a problem of backache and all those kinds of things, never ever tell her you need to lose weight. That's the other thing you never, ever, ever say. Don't say that. Don't go there. And it's like God saying to us, you're fat. But look at this physique. Look at it this way. Don't look at it this way. Just look at this physique. We're fat. And we're fat up here in our spiritual ears. God says throughout the Old Testament, your ears have grown fat. They don't hear anymore. Because God is speaking to us.
Yes, sir.
And He speaks to us not only the first time, He speaks to us a second time. I remember the conviction I had the night that I... Oh, absolute, utter, complete misery. Saturday night, the following Sunday, I was in church. Man, they weren't jumping up and down. They were falling on the floor and they were doing... Old Catholic guy is having real problems with this. But my conviction, the conviction level was clear up here. But when I came to Jesus, when I sat down and I talked to that guy and he told me the plan of salvation, I prayed to receive Jesus. When I walked out, God began speaking a second time. The second voice you hear is the one we have problems with. When God begins to tell us, and He will tell us, there are things in your life that are not pleasing to me. But you know how I hear God say it more often? God will say there are things in your life that need to go away if you want to live a life of victory in me. If you want to live a life of effectiveness in me, there are things that need to change in your life. It used to be the preacher would stand up here and he'd tell you, man, he would bust your hide. You go ahead. You went to a movie, you're going to hell. Yes. Amen. Lady, you wearing pants, you're going to bust hell wide open. He'd tell you all that stuff. And people would, that's where we got the word, you're meddling, preacher. God doesn't meddle. God speaks truth into our hearts. About things that need to happen. He convicts. He empowers. And when we're ready to get that second call, God's going to do some empowering. The book of Acts is amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. Just read it again. The miracles, the power, the signs, the wonders that were going on in that church had the world around them. At one point, they were afraid. Who are these people? Who is this guy that walks down the street and guys are getting healed because his shadow touched them? What is this all about? What is this when dead ladies are being raised from the dead? What is this all about?
Hallelujah.
This Holy Spirit was doing some things that they were not used to seeing or hearing out of church. You went to church, you took your lamb, you put it down in front of the guy, you put your hand on his head, confessed your sin, and then left your hand there on the little lamb while they cut his throat. And you could hear the gurgling and the little lambs. He tried to bleat, but he couldn't because his neck's been cut. Now they're talking about something new. Now the message is something new. Peter preached it that first day. This same Jesus, who you by wicked hands have crucified, this same Jesus, God has made Him Lord and Savior. Amen. And they were cut to the heart. cut to the heart. So cut that they begin to raise up their hands and say, men and brethren, what do we have to do now? God speaking to us, and now He's speaking to us again. There's something else. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And then these same people, like Stephen, they begin to hear other voices. There is a way that I want to live. There's a way that I'm going to live. And we see Stephen now in that seventh chapter of the book of Acts. He's one of the six. Church has never changed. The church at this point may only be 4, 5, 6 years old, and already they're fighting. The Hebrew women are not, or the Greek women are not getting as much food as the Hebrew women. What are we going to do this? Well, we'll go down the street and start First Hebrew. And you guys can stand up to the church Greeks or whatever you want. We're going down and we'll start another church. That's not the way they did it. The disciples said, it is not right that we should leave the study of the word and prayer and go to serve tables. Choose you out from among you 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and power. And they did. And one was Stephen. We live in a world today where if you go to work at McDonald's, you want to walk in as the manager. Give me the manager shirt. That's what I want to be. Give me the manager shirt. No, you're going to sweep the lot and pick up trash and tell people you can't pull forward into the, or you can't back into your eating spot. You got to pull forward. I did that for almost 3 months in Colorado Springs. Met some interesting people. Sir, you cannot, It's McDonald's policy. You can't back your truck in here and eat, sir. He's in a four-wheel drive, and I'm looking at him about like this. He's got tires that are hugers. And he gets out of his truck, this big guy that would barely get through those two doors. He says, you said what? I just spent $17,000 for this truck, and I can't do what? I said, sir, that's the policy. I said, if you have trouble with the policy, you have to talk to my manager. I walked him through the door with my manager because I'd done it before. I told Jerry, I says, I'm not gonna stand out there and be browbeat by these people. Your policy, I'm coming bringing them right straight to you. I walked through that front door with my little McDonald's soldier hat on, my little blue shirt. I walked through that door, this big guy come through the door front, and Jerry went clear over the counter where the thing was, and he was back in the office. Jerry. I couldn't be the manager. I had to start by picking up garbage in the lot and telling big ugly guys to move their trucks. There was a job that I had to do. Stephen, you're not an apostle, but what I want you to do is to serve tables. I want you to make sure that all ladies have something to eat. And Stephen said, I'll do that. Jesus told me, if I want to be great, I'll start out being least. I'll do it. And you begin to read down through that seventh chapter and you find out the great miracles and signs and wonders was beginning to be done at Stephen's hands. In fact, they were so impressive, they got the attention of the synagogue. So the synagogue sent its guys down there and said, well, you know, why are you doing this? How are you doing this thing? Not by my power, it's by God's power. And they begin chewing him out. And Stephen, in this chapter, he starts into 52 verses of history of Israel. God brought Moses out of Egypt. The people came out at the hand of Moses. He goes through from Abraham and the whole nine yards, and then he gets down to the end of it all. And I can just see these guys as he's talking this. I could see somebody kind of smile and say, this guy really knows his stuff. Good Sunday school teacher. This guy really knows that stuff. Whoever they got, however they're doing it, this guy really knows that stuff. And then Stephen tells him, you stiff-necked generation, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Come on, Pastor. Picked him off. power in that church. But I would tell you that that sermon, it wasn't by Stephen's power and his ability as an orator and as a great public speaker that made any sense. It was the Holy Spirit that indwelt him in power. That's what made him. It wasn't Stephen's courage and his bravery to stand up against these people. It was the Holy Spirit that gave him the power. He dwelled within him and all over him. That's where the power. And it was not his personal strength that made him stand with the face of an angel as they picked up rocks and began to stone him. It wasn't his power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Two prayers he prayed. First prayer was, Jesus, receive my spirit into heaven. And the second prayer he prayed was this, lay not this sin to their charge. Yes. My God, that's the Holy Spirit. Yes. Somebody whacked me at the rock, I'll tell you what my first intention is. I'll guarantee you what my first intention, before the Holy Spirit comes on me and I begin to get an angelic face and all that kind of stuff, my first thing is find a bigger rock. But you see, when we listen to the voice, the second voice, the voice that says, I've got something better for you. Get rid of this. Get rid of this so you can be all that I want you to be and do the things that I want you to do. But God, let me have one rock. Just one. And we find the one rock. We deliver the one rock. 9 times out of 10, you're going to miss. So where does that put you? You either give up now, or you make things worse by grabbing a second rock. I'm telling you the truth. That's what people do. Even Christian people do. The old story, well, you don't understand what they did to me. I will not be talked to like that. I don't care who they are. They said this about me, and I'm not going back to church until they leave. It happens all the time. We're not listening to the second voice. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Blessed are you when men revile you, say evil things about you for my sake. Blessed are you. God is speaking a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, and however many times. When we get to that place, when we get to that place where we just want to lose our mind and stick a big screwdriver through the oil pan of the car because it won't work, listen for that voice that God is saying, I'm teaching you something. Most of you have heard me say this, and I'll say it again. I'd be a great Christian if it wasn't for him.
Come on, Pastor.
If Randy Mosby was not in my life, I could serve God every day. My brother says this. He says, I'd be a great Christian if all the people just leave the church. I'd be a great Christian if Randy Mosby wasn't there anymore. I can guarantee you. I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:15, I'm going to run into Randy Mosby. 8:30, I'm going to see him again. 20 to 10, I will see him one more time. God will put him in my path every day, multiple times, until I hear his voice. And I do what he tells me. You need to get rid of that if you want to live the kind of life I want you to live. Be blessed the way I want to bless you. God takes you just where you are. Don't leave you where you are. He's going to bring you along from glory to glory, place to place, until you learn enough about Him to be able effectively to you minister to other people? It's hard to minister to somebody. You have to pelt them with a rock. It's hard to do it. It's hard to call your neighbor a bunch of names and then have the preacher tell you, why don't you go talk to your neighbor? I did. I did yesterday. You ought to heard what I told him. Huh? God wants to bring us along to a place of blessing, of keeping, of effectiveness, to be everything He wants us to be. And we have got to listen to that second call, that second voice, no matter how many times that second voice comes to us. You see, the Holy Ghost is an invader. He invaded this morning. We're singing along pretty good and dancing and stuff, and all of a sudden, He's here in a way that was palpable. We hear, we feel. It's a manifestation of God. He's an invader. He does not belong to this natural sphere. When you leave the church, the Holy Spirit doesn't sit here sucking His thumb waiting for us to come back. But He comes where His people are in a special way. God spoke to us this morning and said that when we praise Him, God returns it to us. Young man used to say in the old church, he used to say, it's like this. I stand and I praise God. I stand and I praise God until it turns to worship. And then when the worship goes up, the glory of God comes and I just stand in His presence. Although what a one, yes. Brandon, what a great way to say that. He is a supernatural being. He comes from over the border. I got to stop out this way. How do you feel about people coming over the border? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know how a lot of people feel about it. I'm telling you what, a lot of people feel the same way about allowing the Holy Spirit to come over the border into our land. The very same way. I was amazed at a quote that I read this week. It was a quote from G. Campbell Morgan. Now, you may know who he is, may not. G. Campbell Morgan was a prince of preachers in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He was the authority on preaching and how to preach. That's what he did. He said at one time, he said, everything this stuff that's going on in Pentecostal churches, the Azusa Street Revival, his comment on the Azusa Street Revival was this, it is the last spawn of Satan. Very religious man, very well educated man, very well known man. He said, this is the last spawn of Satan. He is not coming across my border to live in my land. And sometimes we resist the same thing. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to come into this place where we are. He breaks into a sphere of everyday existence and He comes from without. In spite of all the restraints that men put up against Him, He mows down those things and He goes where He wants. And He goes especially fast to the one who is willing to say, Holy Spirit, I hear You and I give You permission. Knock them down. Knock down my walls. Uproot my bitterness. Get rid of the things in my life. A prayer like that, man, that's like throwing a bone to a hungry dog. The Holy Ghost is all over that prayer. He is other than what we are. He is not a hostile man. He's not a hostile person. His person is not hostile except to sin. And this is where He gets the loudest. If you're wanting to walk with God, you will hear Him every day. You will hear Him every day. He won't be coming to you and saying, you hypocrite. I don't know why you ever went to church. Look at you did. Throw the Bible in the garbage. Yeah, you know, Christian, you're out living for God. That's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That is not.
That's the devil that's trying to get to you.
Yes,
But that precious third person of the Trinity will come with words that sound kind of like this: I love you more than you ever know. But I want to bless you. I want you to be more effective in your witness. I want you to attain heights that you never knew you could get to. But this stands in your way. And if you will let me, if you will let me help you, we'll get rid of that and take you from this glory up to this glory. To this glory. If you'll just let me. If you'll just listen to that second call. Would you bow your heads, please? Like Hezekiah of old, I might get it wrong the first time, but still I'm going to try. As Hezekiah said, in the second month we'll do it. Not the first, because we can't, but we're going to do something. And we will do that, Lord, to draw closer to You. Bless them. Bless their effort. And mold our hearts that we not ask to bless what we do, but as we draw closer, we will begin to do what You bless. And we're going to thank You for this. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you this. This decision can only come after having made the decision to follow Jesus. If that decision hasn't been made, then you're kind of stuck where you are. But if you're willing in your heart to say, Jesus, I will follow You. I want You. Forgive my sin. Change who I am. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you've never made that determination, make it now. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the voice on the inside of you. He'll tell you. He'll tell you about your relationship with God. I said in my little pastor's corner this morning that there are different levels, as it were, of alarms. There are different levels of knowing. The early warning system that begins to tell you that something is wrong and it's coming. There's a little something wrong. And then there is the immediate action required. You got to do something right now. That's a decision that you have to make right now, is to become part of the family. Then you can draw closer. That first step, Christ, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I repent. I'm sorry for what I've done. I repent of it. I don't want to do it anymore. I'll not. With the grace that You've given me, I'm going to walk a different path. Be Lord in my life. If you're willing to tell God that and mean it, you become part of the great family. And this great God of all the universe, you draw closer and closer and closer to Him. What a thought, Lord, what a thought. Bless decisions that are made today. Now, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You love